1212. Hey, dude, I can't. Like that. Where am I? I'm definitely not home because I could find no way home. Yo,
we're recording.
We're recording. Right
that
now.
Was the open.
Chris, the film school dropout for this is Capes Eat Free, of course.
And I'm here with him, his rough and ready diamond. The rogue cape is what I keep going by, right? We keep talking about this, and I'm
feeling like you've settled on the rogue cape. I don't know.
Rogue cape mostly because I don't want to talk to you anymore about it. I don't want to debate, like, is he the cape for hire? Is he the rogue cape? Okay. All our listener base.
Yes,
rogue cape or cape for hire? Rogue cape, but I don't remember where that comes from. Cape for hire is a True Romance reference, a little bit of an Easter egg.
Okay.
And here's the thing, we're going to be talking about a lot of Easter eggs. So bear that in mind, capers, while we go through this.
I mean, damn, this thing probably should come out on Easter. How many Easter eggs is going to be in this bad boy? Yeah,
that bunny was all over that movie.
All right, here we are. And we done been at the movies. Been at the movies with Spider-Man, No Way Home. Spider-Man
spins his web. Because he's Spider-Man. Spins a web that no one else can. Look out.
Here comes the Spider-Man. This is Spider-Man, but he has no way home.
That's
apparently
right.
And we're gonna break this down for you. You know, we're gonna keep it cool. But let's start off real quick. Because
well, the first thing I want everyone to know is that Chris and I are doing this both after having ordered and consumed.
I'm not sure if I want to admit this, but go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Dude,
this is why he's such a rogue.
This is how committed we are to our craft. We 1 hour ago each ate 6 Taco Bell hot wings. This is.
I want to correct that. 5. They only sell you
5. Oh, is it 5? Okay,
packet,
it's 5.
Which is kind of
ooh,
like,
fact,
number
I thought it was 6
for wings.
I'm sweating,
but you know, it's Taco Bell, so
yeah, my abdominals are tight right now. My abdominals were tight just at the one whiff of that.
So this podcast will be under pressure.
Yeah, we're very I'm already kind of sweating a little bit.
Yeah. But you know something? They weren't that bad.
No, I actually really enjoyed them.
They weren't that bad. No.
I would do it again. The point is we're just like, anything could happen.
So speaking of that, anything could happen. And that's true because if you watch Spider-Man, you know that anything could happen because that's what happened in this movie. Anything. First off, I want to start this off because, I honestly, Tom Holland trilogies, I did like this one the best. But obviously, there's a whole bunch going on in this movie that, like, helped him. But I will say this. Every Tom Holland movie they've had with the MCU, he's had assistance.
Meaning Tony Stark. Mysterio. Meaning Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. Samuel Jackson. Nick Fury. He's had assistance. It wasn't just, like, his own stories.
If I understand what you're getting at, you're saying that the Marvel, Sony, Spider-Man movies haven't been the traditional Spider-Man movie like we've had in the past with Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, obviously those movies were set to be just Spider-Man movies. In this movie, I feel like, just in general, the MCU Spider-Mans, they were incorporating him into the MCU, which I saw the first one. I get the fact that, like, Tony Stark was part of, I guess, the co-star in it. Even though if you watched the trailers, you thought he was, like, you know, the co-star throughout the entire movie. But he only shows up once at the beginning, once in the middle, once in the end. But I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, that might be technically true. I do remember Tony Stark's presence in Homecoming being pretty significant. I mean,
his presence is significant. His screen time
is not. But you're still saying that you feel like that's a pretty big assist.
No, I think it's a pretty big assist. I think that, and honestly, most of that movie was Tom Holland, but it was obviously a pretty big assist from Tony Stark, from his tech. The Iron Spider suit was a big thing that, like, carried part of the first movie.
That's another good point, man. The thoughts crossed my mind a number of times. I've been like, man, you know, how much time has Tom Holland spent in just a regular homemade Spider-Man suit? The answer is, like, next to zero.
Well, no. In the second one, Far From Home, he had to play whatever Dark Spider or whatever. He had to like not be Spider-Man, but he had to help and fight against Mysterio when he was in Paris.
Right.
So they deliberately made it so he could not wear the Iron Spider-Man suit most of the movie. Most of the movie, he had this black suit on, which is probably homage to Venom, but it was just like he had to play the, I forgot what
was it? Yeah, I remember. Yeah. He was kind of like that more like incognito, kind of like espionage spider, right?
And so he had, so that was most of the movie. He was that, or he was in plain clothes.
Well, wasn't that, I remember, I think they even teased that look in the trailers, I believe. And the prevailing hysteria at the time was that Far From Home was going to introduce the multiverse, and that Tom Holland look, you know, which would later get explained, kind of how you broke it down in the trailers, people were thinking it was someone else.
Yeah,
because Into the Spider-Verse had come, like that had kind of opened the door for everyone, and everyone was kind of thinking the amazing movie. Film, man, really,
it was great,
amazing movie. And so I don't know if you remember, but a lot of people thought the multiverse was coming then. Do you remember that? Or do you not remember that?
I don't remember that, no.
Look it up, dude. I'm 85% sure I'm correct.
85, that's a big number. All right, no, we'll look it up, and we'll talk next podcast. But yeah.
Anyway, so we pretty much covered all the interesting stuff.
Now let's talk about the current movies. Let's
rank them really quick. Rank the Spider-Man really quick.
3-1-2, No Way Home, first one. Homecoming, Far From Home in the middle, and understand some. I liked them all. I feel the thing is in the second one, which I'm not gonna go into it too much, but I just feel like he fell for the Mysterio thing. I mean, we know Mysterio was an enemy, but come on now, you just gonna give up the glasses?
Well, here's the thing.
You're gonna hand the glasses over to other dude?
Yes, I know what you're talking about, but I would. I'm gonna push back on you a little bit, man. No Way Home, to me, actually has, and it's in the trailer, this isn't a spoiler, Peter Parker goes to Doctor Strange and asks him to cast this spell.
Yes.
When Mysterio revealed my identity, my entire life got screwed up. I was wondering if maybe you could make it so that he never did.
And Doctor Strange does it. When it's all said and done, the spell that Doctor Strange casts basically lobotomizes the planet. And which is a big move.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it with that, which the plot needs that to happen.
Yes.
But these characters who are super, I mean, absolutely elite, like they make a joke of it. Because after it's all said and done, Dr. Strange says to Peter Parker, he's like, you didn't think to go to your college and just plead your case?
Yeah.
Before coming to me and asking me to lobotomize the planet. And they made a joke of it because I think the writers were aware that this was kind of as cool as the movie is, the premise is a little flimsy. It's super cool what happens, but for it to happen requires some kind of flimsy logic, man.
No, and I can see that. I mean, I think that, well, first off, I know they try to cover it up when he mentions that sometimes after everything we went through, I realized that you're still just a kid. He does say that. To me, I feel like that's the, in the writing, that's the cover up to say, all right, well, I got caught up in your world. But the thing is, your world's coming from this perspective of being a kid, and this is why you didn't think of everything.
Yeah, before but doing yet this. He still did it.
It's a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
it's definitely a Band-Aid.
And it doesn't ruin the movie. I've wrestled with this, man. I kind of feel like, and I know that this story is borrowed from a comic.
Well, yeah, storyline. And I didn't know that at first, but yes, this is actually in canon in like one of the comic storylines, which I honestly makes me feel better about it.
I think it's I think it's called, I think it's Spider-Man One More Day is what I think it is. Let me check that really quick.
Because he does actually want him to erase his people knowing the fact that he's Spider-Man, because they find out how somehow. Obviously, not the same way in the MCU movies, but yes, they find out somehow. So he wants them to erase that, which to me, when I saw the trailer, which I think a lot of people said, when they saw the trailer, they thought it was an absurd request, and that Doctor Strange was like serving the request to the point that people didn't believe that that was really Doctor Strange.
The entire world was about to forget that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Wait, everyone? Can't some people still know?
That's not how the spell works.
Yeah.
Which, from the trailers, this is in the trailers.
Which then, again, speaks to what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's a weird one because, you know, I do feel weird kind of criticizing that because I don't have a better solution, you know. I buy it. It's just flimsy.
The thing is this. I will say this because when watching the entire movie, I didn't feel the same way of just watching the trailer. It kind of, whatever they did, acting wise, editing wise, script wise, all of it put together, it made me believe that Strange thought he was helping Peter Parker.
And in a way that was benign enough.
Yes.
He's just resetting the planet to forget that Spider-Man is Peter Parker.
Right. So they kept it feeling like it's just that simple, and now it just affects Peter Parker's world and nobody else's.
Peter's missing out here. Because the reason this all gets screwed up is Strange starts to cast the spell to wipe everybody. And as he's casting it, Peter gets in there. He's like, actually, I'd rather that Mary Jane still remembered and Ned. I'd rather. And he's going through everyone that he still wants to know.
When you botched that spell where you wanted everyone to forget that Peter Parker's Spider-Man, we started getting some visitors.
There's some fan speculation. In fact, if you watch Strange pull those runes from the spell,
yeah,
there's some. I don't know how this pans out exactly, but there's some speculation that he pulls out six runes, but the cube that he keeps them in only has five or something like that. The point being that Strange pulls one out for himself without saying anything to Parker. But anyway, and then which makes it interesting, because if that's the case, which I'm not sure it is, we're getting into deep geek culture.
I have to watch it another time to get that. But I don't know.
This stuff actually kind of upsets Chris. Like, these are the guys that like talk about the license plate on a freeway.
I've heard the things that the director, he likes to hide things and the license plates and hide things and these little details. But you're not going to like sit there and watch for that. And the people that sit there and watch for that, I'm like, dude, I'm glad that's your job. Movie good.
There's no D in that license plate, so it can't be Spidey's. Although if you look at the what's actually there, it's SP13. A Stan Lee Easter egg that Chris was all about. There's a taxi cab.
Wait, what?
There's a license plate.
License plate that said, people said, it's Stan Lee's birthday. I'm like, okay.
No, do you think that's what that is? I think that is.
You
want to
know some? They put that in afterward. Like, they put it in with CGI afterward. So, yes, I do believe that it was supposed to be Stanley's birthday, but that is not a Stanley cameo. That's like someone spray painting his birthday on a wall that he like walks by for 1 second. I'm sorry, it's there, and I'm calling, hey, if you pause the movie, there it is, there you got it. But
okay, so why? Let me ask you, there's some Easter eggs in this movie that aren't really related to the plot. I'm gonna ask your honest opinion about some of them, okay?
Yes, please.
And the significance of them. The manhole. I'll explain really quick. There's some speculation that in an early part of the film, Tom Holland lifts and then replaces with his webbing a manhole.
Yes.
It is also a fact that at the end of The Amazing Spider-Man 2, the very last shot of the film is of Andrew Garfield Spider-Man swinging a webbed up manhole.
Yeah, before the credit sequence.
Now, the deep conspiracy theory here is that when Tom Holland closes that lid, that manhole cover, it's a precursor of everything getting
that's
into place. Tell me what you think.
I'm going to say, first off, no, and why? And even if it is true, so what? I mean, he covered a manhole with webbing.
Yeah.
Because he's Spider-Man. That's what he would do. In any situation. He lives in New York. There's multiple times that these Spider-Men use manholes. It's not
like, it's, you know, it's not like.
See, I mean, I don't fully buy this homage, but I'm not going to like bet on it because, you know. I mean, I do. I mean, I've heard about this whole license plate thing, so I'm like, oh, the director does do that, but that he does that. Yeah, for sure. No. He does that for his own jollies.
Well, here's the thing: it gets into what, how do you define an Easter egg? And to me, I kind of define an Easter egg as something that is, in a relevant and actionable way, inserted into the film. Something that deepens the mythos somehow. Something like that. When you're talking about something like, there's a magazine cover. Here's another one. There's a magazine cover with a picture of Peter Parker, half face, half Spider-Man mask. And the headline says, Two-Faced. Now, there are some that speculate. This is a reference to Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight.
No, I don't think that is no. Not at all. Because I think that's a normal... That's a normal picture that they usually put a half spider and a half Peter Parker face. That is a known thing in the Spider-Man
and
print.
And he was lying to everybody. Spider-Man. He's Two-Faced. The end. Yeah. However, and here's where this is what I'm trying to deconstruct. Flashpoint, the book that Flash Thompson writes in about his, you know, history with Peter Parker.
No, I feel I do feel that that's a blatant dig. At DC, because DC is actually in the process of making the Flashpoint movie.
Right.
DCEU is making the Flashpoint movie.
Not only that, but dude, that's, look,
I mean. The multiverse, which is supposed to fix everything, which it kind of does, or it's supposed to do. But it deals with the multiverse, and it's like DC's version of it. Theirs came out first. This one came out first. The guy walks in front of the screen and says, Flashpoint. This is my book, Flashpoint. And his name's Flash Thompson. That's the whole character. So he said he wrote a book, Flashpoint, which honestly, when did time he ever write the book and then get it published by a professional company?
Second biggest plot hole.
So I mean, I know they passed a little bit of time, but not that much time.
I mean, it's a Flash thick Thompson book. Was it's not like the a Lord of the Rings. It's like a Return of the King thick book.
Yes,
I mean, it's a thick. It's like a Silmarillion, like. That thick. That book's got a girth certificate. it's a thick book.
It is girthy.
It's like a politician's memoir. It's like that thick. It's a big book.
Oh, no, it's not.
Tell me. I'm counting about two inches.
It looks like there's like a trilogy in there.
Yeah, so it's a lot of pages. One book.
Flash Thompson, the character in the first movie, was DJing a house party. So do you think that he's writing a thick book?
I've been trying to write a book for years, and I'm on page 10. He's going to MIT. You know, page a year. That's the commitment. You promise. What's the rule? You undersell, over deliver.
Yeah,
you can do that. That applies even to yourself.
Yeah, and apparently he over delivered for that to be happening. So I feel like that was thrown in later on.
Okay, anyway. I got two more for you, and then okay. Right.
Give it to me.
Throw Mary me. Jane's bedroom. We've got a picture.
No, please.
We got a picture of Ned and Mary Jane Watson, which is a name we start seeing more and more, which is an Easter egg to indicate that we're dealing with MJ Watson.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's true. I believe that's a full-on deliberate thing.
Okay, so we've got pictures that she drew in Homecoming of, I believe, both Peter Parker and, interestingly, Coach Wilson, just over her headboard.
Coach Wilson, who's played by Hannibal Buress, and he, you know, in the first one, who honestly, and I will say this too, because in the first one, he plays these videos of Captain America, but he has these conspiracies that, oh, he's probably a war criminal anyway, but like, I'm supposed to play these. So he's already a conspiracy theorist, which...
That's right.
I'll come up later, which he...
Why is later MJ on, later putting on, a picture a of this guy over her bed?
But I will say this. There's no way. She drew that. But you want to know something? She's drawn... In her character, she's supposed to have drawn people and all that stuff. Drawn so many people. Why the heck would she put Coach Wilson over her bed?
Kind of. If you look at it, kind of edging out Parker.
Right. No, like, I mean, right over her bed. Like, Wilson, like, is she front has and a center. Crush on Wilson.
Crushing hard on Wilson.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what if so I Zendaya, came in on a crime scene.
They are.
I think this person was, this Coach Wilson is a person of interest.
No, and that's true. That's true. And that to me is a production designer thing. It's just like in the movie, you saw her draw these couple drawings, and the production designer probably put those couple drawings up there because those are the drawings we've seen. But if that's a real character, if you're saying that she draws people throughout her high school career, those are her best drawings, because they were pretty bad anyway, but those are her best drawings.
Hey, easy now. I'm not calling out the artwork. No, don't you dare. You were looking at them. You noticed them. No. Now you're going to insult them? No, they caught your eye.
I mean, no, they caught your eye.
They did catch my eye. I enjoyed them. I actually think I'm agreeing with you here with the headboard thing. I'm saying, like, sure, cool, interesting, but why?
Exactly. Those deep cuts. Well, for people to look at that, like, you know, the comic book aficionados, I feel like those deep cuts are for them, and then most people aren't going to notice that. I mean, I noticed a couple things. Like, I feel like I noticed the Flashpoint thing right away.
Sure.
But,
well, that you, I did too, but that's because that's something you and I have been,
I'm waiting to see Flashpoint.
We're stoked on Flashpoint. In fact.
What just happened?
We're actually in an alternate reality now.
Yes. Yes, we are.
This is going to be hard for listeners to understand, but there was a reality where Chris and I had this engaging conversation for about half an hour and recorded it.
And honestly, we had technical difficulties just short of a half an hour. So there's a couple minutes you will never hear.
Because they exist in a multiverse, an alternate multiverse from the one that we're in, where we have no recording of what we were talking about.
And I really want to take blame for this, but I feel like it's Peter Parker's fault. I mean, he's the one who caused this whole multiverse split, as you've seen Homecoming. And anyway, after this point, spoilers. If you haven't watched the movie, spoilers.
Okay, you're saying that now. Okay, so that
spoilers.
Not that we're going to go into spoilers, but you're unleashing.
Oh yeah, no, we yeah.
Releasing the taking the shackles off.
Yes, if you haven't watched the movie, watch the movie right now and come back.
Okay, so yeah, we're excited about Flashpoint. We're not sure which movie came out first.
I do know that Flashpoint started.
Look, I'll say it this way. The announcement for Michael Keaton being Batman and coming back as Batman, that definitely came out before the Spider-Man announcement.
Oh, yeah. No, the thing is, because they stopped things because Ezra Miller wasn't happy, and I guess he got a little more control of the script. And there was a whole bunch of hoopla behind the scenes, which I wasn't part of.
Okay, here's another one. When we went to go see Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker, we left that film with you saying the same thing over and over.
Wait, what was that? I don't remember.
You
that.
Asked, and dude, for good reason, you asked, how's that Palpatine?
How is that Palpatine?
I don't know how that Palpatine, how is that Palpatine? How is that Palpatine?
And how is that Palpatine?
How's that Palpatine?
Dude, how is that Palpatine?
How Come is on. That Palpatine?
Palpatine was already 90 years old in the movie, in the first
Return
one.
Return of the Jedi.
When he got thrown into the
in
pit.
In the 80s, which was a long time ago.
Yes. He got thrown into a pit. He was already... He's dead.
He got thrown into, like, the reactor core of the Death Star.
Yes, that thing was staticky, if you remember. Go watch that thing that was already sparking.
Darth Vader lifted him up over his head and threw him into a like
he was dead.
A
he was
reactor.
Already 90. He was already 90.
So how's that Palpatine?
How is that Palpatine? Because this is like to me, I feel like Luke Skywalker was Rey's age in Rise of Skywalker. Like
Han Solo's knees were shot.
No,
you saw him running around.
Han Solo's knees were shot, and by that time Han Solo was shot. So
stabbed, but yeah.
I mean, he was stabbed and thrown over into a pit. Similar to the Death Star, but he didn't come back.
I mean, I guess so would you say that when Palpatine makes an appearance, I have to say, I know someone will watch it with you, and he shows up in No Way Home. Could you argue that that's the best that Disney's done at bringing Palpatine back.
That
is it. Because you didn't say it. We didn't leave, I mean, no way home. You're going to have that Palpatine.
I would love to go work on some Disney projects, so I'm not going to say, I'm not going to get too bad on it. But, yeah, that's probably the best. Yeah, because I feel like, because Ned,
yeah,
he's a deep nerd. He's a deep, he goes all the way back to, you know, New Hope. And he recognizes New Hope as number one. And he probably doesn't recognize Phantom Menace, even though I think he actually is nerd enough to recognize Phantom Menace.
Do you think in their universe that the Star Wars is there a long time ago?
Yes.
Okay, so can't wait to see those mashups. Here's an interesting one for you. So in No Way Home, in Happy Hogan's apartment, which, just to recap, when we start, J. Jonah Jameson has exposed Peter Parker and Spider-Man to be one and the same after, help me out,
Mysterio
he's killed. And reveals that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
That's right, folks. Spider-Man is, in fact, Peter Parker.
Listen, I did not kill Mysterio. The drones did.
The drones that are yours.
Peter Parker's on the run. I can't say he's on the run. He's more just kind of living the life of like a rock star bad boy celebrity.
Yes, he doesn't know he's on the run yet.
Yeah, but he's hiding out at Happy Hogan's. Mm-hmm. And Happy Hogan has a Star Tech fabricator with a very...
Carry on, please.
A very specific arc reactor. In fact, the arc reactor element arc 1 with a triangular inlay, which was the same...
I'm sorry. Wait, what was that? Did you break that down for me? Because I mean,
the same reactor that was used in Iron Man 3.
See, you're telling me the details of this arc reactor, and I don't even think Robert Downey Jr. can do that right now. If we had him on here, with your invitation, dude, we're going to question about this arc reactor. I want to know if you know the details of this arc reactor. Because please,
these guys that catch these Easter eggs, I don't even know how they catch the plot of the film, because they'll be like, ooh, check out that license plate. And it's like, dude, sure, if you have it, that's an interesting license plate, but dude, that's Doc Ock. Why are you checking out the graffiti on that dumpster?
You want to know something? And that's the thing. And I want to talk about these conspiracy theorist guys that are on YouTube. And, I mean, maybe they're doing it because it's their job.
And look, I watch that stuff. We watch it, man. Like,
no, I call myself the film school dropout because, yes, I went to film school, but I'm a big fan of a lot of these blockbuster movies. And I understand the fact that you have show business. You have these big blockbusters that aren't these great independent deep things. And there's like these in-betweens, which I love the in-betweens a lot more. But so I'm not the traditional film student. In a sense that, like, I feel like these guys are, like, looking at these kind of details. Yes, you kind of learn some of this stuff, like, to apply all this stuff for character in the movie, in film school. But to me, I feel like some of this stuff is just so deep that they're doing it on purpose, but it doesn't mean anything.
Well, it's just so abstract that it's well within the realm of negligible.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like...
And then I think people are just reading some of the stuff, they're just reading into it.
Yeah, I think what Chris and I are saying is we have to redefine what constitutes an Easter egg. I mean, for real.
Because when you're on Easter and you find those Easter eggs, and you try to get some candy,
hopping around,
some of those eggs are empty. There's nothing in them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's... Okay, so everyone knows...
And physically.
Peter Parker goes to Doctor Strange because not only does he get in trouble and is he living kind of this hyper celebrity life, but he, MJ, and Ned, none of them get into MIT or any college that they want to go to. Like, lives are getting ruined. So he goes to Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And he asks Strange to wipe everybody. Or no, he asks Doctor Strange to make everyone forget that he's Spider-Man.
That's a big ask, but yes.
Spell gets screwed up, and the next thing you know, you got Alfred Molina, you got Willem Dafoe, you know, you got all the guys coming through. You've got a Dr. Octavius that basically looks and feels like the Doc Ock from Spider-Man 2. You've got Willem Dafoe that basically looks and feels like Green Goblin. And then you've got a Jamie Foxx that gets a complete overhaul.
Oh, yeah.
Explain. What's that about?
This is the question I want to ask because, you know, the thing is, like, you see them pop over. The whole thing is, like, they're supposed to have popped over before their death. right before they're dying. Some point before they
die. There's a few things about Electro.
Fighting Spider-Man. There's a few things about Electro. But one of the things is that his haircut is completely different. Like, he got a cool shape up in between the multiverse thing. Because he comes, he's over there. He comes over. He's full on Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, he's just like sort full of on Jamie Foxx
today. He's not
Miami Vice. Yeah. Is smooth. Yeah, That's how we do.
He has a nice shape up that he didn't have. And Amazing Spider-Man too.
Yeah,
the attitude too. And
this dude is just a lord.
He's confident. And the thing is, in Spider-Man 2, he was not confident. That's why he took on the power he got from Electro.
Completely different character. Yes. Chris, completely different look. Yeah. Like, he doesn't look the same. Like, what's the explanation? Are we to understand that this is not the Electro from The Amazing Spider-Man 2, but an Electro from a similar multiverse?
No.
What's the answer?
No. This is a little more meta. It is the Spider-Man from Spider-Man 2, but the thing is, they're assuming that not as many people watched Amazing Spider-Man 2 and or don't remember to the point where they let Jamie Foxx do the character how he wanted to. More entertaining, and they went with that. They went with a more entertaining character because this is his own movie. If you actually watch Amazing Spider-Man 2 and then jump right to this, you'll see the huge character difference.
Oh, there's drastic, almost unrecognizable.
But I think that they're not worried about that part. They're worried about the part that they want this movie. They want him to be entertained.
Okay, cool.
And he does have some. He has some big comic relief parts in it, which are actually funny and it works. And then, I think his character actually works in this thing, but. If you play it back to back with those two, there's a huge character change for something that's supposed to be instant, which didn't happen with Defoe, which didn't happen
I
with
I would be very interested to read Alfred. We were too busy checking out the license plates to look into anything about this because it's interesting.
There was no D in that license plate. No. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
Well, no, it's just like, what was that? Because the Lizard is 1-to-1, Sandman's 1-to-1. Green Goblin. They didn't fix Green Goblin's mask. They kind of came up with an explanation to change it. Jamie Foxx just shows up just dope and you know.
And I think I personally think that was, what they call the license, creative license.
Yeah.
Where in the movies they let, director, actor, whatever, play with the script, play with the words, play with that a little bit to make it work for this film. And that's what I feel like they did with his character, which I don't hate it. I think it works for this film. It's just
a weird
way wise, yeah.
There's a number of things. I actually dug the Jamie Foxx Electro look in The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
I do sympathize with not being stoked on the choices that were made where he kind of borrowed a page from Michelle Pfeiffer in Batman Return.
Meow.
Origin vibe. Kristen Wiig did it again in Wonder Woman 1984, I'd say. Like that same, it has never really worked. Like, Kristen Wiig almost pulled it off. In fact, I would say I actually enjoyed her more before she went full feline.
No, she did a couple of monologues to get there, but
So we've got all these villains.
Yeah.
I
feel like the thing is it's actually like. I love the concept. Just overall, I love the concept of like bringing these things and doing kind of live action live action Spider-Verse. Dope. You're bringing in all the other characters and the fact they brought in the Lizard, they brought in all those guys. Yes, there's holes in the fact that Say said only people that knew him, because Electro did not know that Peter Parker was Spider-Man, but he was brought over. And if you watch that movie, he does not find out that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Unless this is an Electro from a very similar...
Well, no. But the thing is, even in this movie, when he finds out and sees the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, he's like, you've helped out communities.
He admits it.
Yes, full on. He admits it in this film, which is supposed to be a homage to maybe Miles Morales to come, which...
Yeah. So to Easter egg Miles Morales, they actually undercut the logic of their own film.
Yeah.
I mean...
Because Electro did not know had not seen Peter Parker and did not know Peter Parker was Spider-Man, but he was still brought over. But I will say, if you stayed and watched the credit sequence, when you see Venom, Tom Hardy's Venom, he didn't know anything about him. Why did he get brought over?
Is that to say that Doctor Strange doesn't know 100% with 100% certainty why this is happening, and so he just guesses that? You know,
because that is his guess. And then, I mean, you see the teaser for the Multiverse of Madness later on at the very end of the movie.
Things just got out of hand.
So we'll find out then, but maybe that's just his guess that works for this movie.
Because he does say
that he does not, we don't know barely anything about the multiverse. He does say that. So these theories that come off like, oh, you seem to know a lot if you say you know barely anything, could be his hypothesis. So yeah,
it could be his hypothesis. Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, and I actually debated this with you a lot, man.
Yes,
and
I
was wrong. I actually truly did not think it was going to happen, if you can believe it. I really didn't think Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield would show up, but sure enough, they do.
Oh, no, I knew. I mean, I would say I was 90% sure they were going to show up.
And only they don't just show up. They're a legitimate part of the plot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from, you know, I guess what you'd call the third act, they're in it to the end and in a very significant way.
And that is a surprise because they actually incorporated them. They really incorporated them. It was great because then you had tons of interaction between the three Spider-Mans.
Yeah. Interesting conversations, interesting fraternity. Some, you know, when Peter and Andrew see each other for the first time, they instantly start webbing and going at each other because there's all sorts of speculation there. Have they encountered, you know, in their lives, people that have created like clones of them, or,
yeah,
you know, like their, yep, instinct is to just go after until they realize there's something different. I mean, the third act is when it is easily the most fun, that movie. I have to say, Andrew Garfield is the big winner here to me. It's a little bit, it's his movies. So, I had COVID, you know, right after Thanksgiving. I went back through and I watched all the Spider-Man movies. And Spider-Man 1 and 2, it just does a lot of interesting stuff that, yeah, isn't necessarily classic canon, but interesting. In fact, what No Way Home does that's so intriguing to me is it sort of justifies everything that happens in The Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2 as this is an alternate reality. This is an alternate, yeah, Peter Parker. This is what happens to him. And it justifies and legitimizes all of it.
Yeah.
It also makes Tobey Maguire's first Spider-Man technically the first Marvel movie.
Yeah. I mean, they do say, I mean, it's technically not, but yeah.
Oh, right. It would be the Hulk or the Fantastic Four.
I mean, there's tons of Marvel movies that we don't count, like the Captain America, that very, very first Fantastic Four.
That Dolph Lundgren, yeah, Punisher.
Yeah, those
that
things.
That Fantastic Four, that it's clobbering time.
But like Spider-Man and X-Men. One or like the birth of our superhero movies today.
Well, it's interesting. I can't wait to be talking to you about this another 5-10 years from now and speculating on looking at what Marvel's done at that point, because what happens in WandaVision, what they did with Quicksilver there.
Agnes doesn't live here. You do. You're Ralph Boner?
Boner.
And then what's happened with the explanation of the multiverse in No Way Home. It's just interesting to see what Marvel's thinking. Like, what's the plan? Because it's it feels a little all over the place. Andrew Garfield wins in many ways. This movie gives him a lot of redemption. He gets to save Mary Jane when he couldn't save Gwen Stacy.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Are you okay?
Yep.
He finds catharsis. Like,
dope scene.
In an amazing scene, incredibly well acted. Andrew Garfield may very well just be the dude who won this year. I mean, with this and Tick, Tick, Boom, I'm just a huge fan right now.
I feel like, yes, he is a big winner only because he was a big loser with his movies because he didn't get to finish his trilogy, only because the second one...
kind of got done dirty, man. Like,
it got done dirty, and it didn't do well at the box office only because it was done dirty. I feel like the Andrew Garfield's ones were rushed only because Tobey Maguire and Sam Raimi did not decide to do part four.
Well, looking at the numbers on that...
They rushed Andrew Garfield's because Sony's deal with Marvel, they get to keep Spider-Man as long as they keep making Spider-Man movies.
That's right.
That's their deal.
The thing is, if you look at the what each Spider-Man was making, both Tom Holland and Andrew Garfield have made topping around $4 million per film. Whereas going into Spider-Man 4, Tobey Maguire, I believe, made around $17 million for his third Spider-Man movie, the way that contract was built.
Yes.
So there was a lot of financial strain the more that series went on.
Oh, yeah.
I got to be honest. I would love to see. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you make it, if it's just a standalone like what they're doing with Robert Pattinson and Batman. But, man, I would see a third Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. And, man, I'd see a fourth Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. I'd see these.
I would see them, too, right now.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm...
I mean, the thing, I mean, especially with Andrew Garfield, because one of the reasons why he's the big winner is because they left his story short. They did this whole extra thing about his father being alive and this extra storyline in The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
And The Amazing Spider-Man. But they had to cut it short because, they just cut the entire storyline short.
There are deleted scenes where he does find his father.
Really?
Yeah. Too. And his dad basically explains
why. Easter egg in real life.
Yeah. I don't think they ever saw the light of day.
That. Okay.
It was, they were cut out of the movie.
Okay. Well.
And they have seen the light of day. I've seen them. You can find them on YouTube. But
are they on like the DVD or something?
I don't know where these got dug up. There's two scenes. They look finished. So I'm not sure. But it's two scenes.
Editors are fired.
Yeah.
Whoever released them. Whoever
so we're talking about another Andrew Garfield movie. We're talking about another Tobey Maguire movie. That's how you made a very interesting point when we left that film. Almost as interesting as How's That Palpatine?
How is that Palpatine?
How is that Palpatine? Yeah. You said this clears the slate.
Yes.
Home, The Way It Ends, kind of. It's interesting to watch that film from a contractual standpoint because, Spider-Man, if I understand it right, is still a Sony property.
It is definitely, yes.
They're enjoying this marriage and they're definitely enjoying the money.
Right. I don't know if you remember that before this movie, they already ran through their contract and Sony was going to walk away, and then them two got together to make one more movie. That's what this movie was. And
just after a grand watching this slam, movie, pull out all the stops.
I did know that Tom Holland made a deal for three more movies with Sony before this movie came out. So I didn't know. I didn't know what that meant. I thought, okay, well, MCU's doing it. But then after watching this movie, at the end of it, Doctor Strange winds up erasing everyone's minds.
Yes, the way that Spider-Man saves the day.
So no one knows Peter Parker's Spider-Man, which kind of like can be a reset for everything. And to me, I feel like this is how they're pulling Spider-Man out of the MCU. Because...
Well, Spider-Man... as Spider-Man still exists in the MCU, but yeah. Tom Holland as Spider-Man does not exist in the MCU.
The thing is, they don't know him.
Right.
And that's the whole big point. Like, he can continue, like, Sony can continue to make Spider-Man movies within, like, the MCU storyline, but not have the MCU help.
Right. Because
it doesn't have to. And then they're actually coming out with Morbius.
Who the hell are you, Matt?
I am Venom. I'm just kidding. It's Dr. Michael Morbius at your service.
Yes, and Venom's been doing well, and they're doing their own Spider-Verse movies.
Yeah, but if I'm Tom Holland, I'm looking. Marvel's kind of a nice warm blanket, Like if Marvel's they have yet to make a true duck. Like there hasn't been a Marvel movie that I've really,
No, it's true.
You try to look at all sides of the cube with these, but they make generally solid films.
True.
Sony has a little bit more of a streaky track record. And they're bringing in kind of a streaky ragtag platoon of, we haven't seen Morbius yet. I enjoy Venom, but...
Venom. I'm gonna have to pay for the rights if we keep saying more. The cool thing about that is like,
so if, what do you think?
If Sony does it right, they can release their Sinister Six, which they plan to do a while ago. They can release Black Cat. They have all these characters that are in the Spider-Man universe that they have ownership of, like Morbius.
I don't know, man. It was kind of in No Way Home. It was kind of tasty to see Doc Ock, Green Goblin, Sandman, the Lizard, right. Electro, like Vulture could have been there. Like I was seeing a pretty dope Sinister Six taking shape here, and now I got to live with Morbius, Venom,
and I mean, we'll see what happens, because if they do Black Cat, because they talked about doing a Black Cat movie. They had Ana de Armas.
Yeah,
she played the character supposed to play Black Cat in it was an Amazing Spider-Man 2, I believe. It didn't happen.
But she was here. She was there. Yes, she was in position. All the way back then.
Yeah.
Man.
So, I mean, they're probably not going to use her again, even though she's great. But the thing is, they started to set this up. It didn't go into fruition. Right now, they have the chance to do it. If Sony does it, this is their launching pad. I need you guys to really dig your feet in before you jump, but jump and make it high, because this is your chance. This is your chance to not have another amazing Spider-Man series, which was amazing, as Tobey Maguire said to Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man. Yeah, you're amazing.
Hey, what are some of the craziest villains that you guys have fought?
Seems you've met some of them.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I fought an alien made out of black goo once.
Oh, no way. I fought an alien too. On Earth and in space.
Oh.
Yeah, he was purple.
I want to fight an alien.
I'm still that you fought an alien in space.
I'm lame compared. Like, I fought a Russian guy in a rhinoceros machine.
Can we rewind it back to the I'm lame part? Because you are not.
No, thanks. No, yeah, I appreciate that. I'm not saying I'm lame.
But
I'm just saying,
the self-talk maybe we should, you know.
Listen.
Because you're amazing. Just to take it in for a minute.
Yeah.
You are amazing.
I can take it in.
You are amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks.
Will you say it?
No, I kind of needed to hear.
But I'm just saying, it's like...
No, you know how I saw a lot of people interpreted that as him saying no, your movies were good and you were amazing in them.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was Spider-Man from the Spider-Man franchise telling Andrew Garfield that he's the amazing Spider-Man from the amazing Spider-Man franchise.
I think it was that.
That's how
that,
I interpreted
it. Yes, it was definitely that. And the fact that the critics and everyone said that those two Spider-Man movies, the amazing Spider-Mans, weren't as great. And so he had this I only did this. Ranked. I'm So he kind of played it down he wasn't that great of a Spider-Man, which is what everyone has said.
Right.
And then, of course, Tobey Maguire goes, no, you're amazing. So
who is of those two? There's been a lot of heat and a lot of.
I want to talk about the conversation for a second. In this movie, the three Spider-Mans have tons of scenes together, which is great. They have tons of scenes together, but they hash out a lot of the things that people talk about the three Spider-Mans. And one of the things we just talked about was Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man movies feeling inferior and. They kind of talked about that. Then they go into talking about how Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, shoots webs out of his hand.
So you make your own web fluid in your body?
I'd rather not talk about this.
No, I don't mean to.
Are you teasing me?
No. He's not teasing you. It's just that we can't do that. So naturally, we're curious as to how your web situation works. That's all.
But if it's personal, I don't want to pry. But I just think it's cool.
I wish I could tell you, but it's I don't do it. I don't do breathing. Breathing just happens.
Whoa.
Does it just come out of your wrists, or does it come out of anywhere else?
Only the wrists.
You never had a web block? Because I run out of webs all the time. I have to make my own in a lab.
That's...
And it's a hassle compared to
what you got.
That
sounds like a hassle, yeah. But I did, actually. You said that. I was I had a web block.
Whoa. Why?
Existential crisis stuff.
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
Yeah. Right out of his wrist, yeah.
And the rumor, which I said at the time, too, is... Shouldn't he be shooting spider webs out of his butt? That's what spiders do, right? From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand?
understand my intention.
You've been talking about this.
The thing is like they kind of played with that
for the last 20 years. You've been talking about this.
But they addressed it. They addressed it in this one. Tom Holland asked Tobey Maguire. He's like, hey, oh, so you got spiderwebs coming in your hands. Do they come out of anywhere else? Which is, I mean, you know, PG-13, so I'm not going to say butt or ass or anything. But I'm just saying,
they addressed it. Getting alluded to?
Oh, no, it was definitely getting alluded to.
I thought they was asking, like, do you cry webbing? Do you, when you salivate, do you salivate a little bit of a webbing? I'm not like you. I don't go straight to the butt.
We're talking physiologically.
Everything with you Spider-Man, goes to that inevitably.
Spiders shoot webbing out of their tail hole, but whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, but that's not their like excrement, dude. That's not like
that is full on their excrement. They don't shoot it out of their hands.
You mean to tell me that every spider on a web is just on a web of its own excrement?
It's not extreme.
I think it's got a whole different hole.
No. It's definitely whatever that bulb is.
It's got a webbing hole for sure.
Yes, but it's out of their backside.
But that's like saying that a bee is like dropping a little stinky little stinger on me. Like it's like it's not it, the stingers. It's, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but a bee man, the stinger if
would have to use it up right.
He'd use it out of his buttocks. He'd have to use it on his buttocks area.
I mean, I don't care. I'm just saying that, you know, this romp theory of yours has been going on since the first film.
Well, they addressed it in this thing. They addressed it.
I didn't interpret it that way.
I will tell you. They definitely addressed it.
I know you did.
I felt satisfied after watching this movie.
You gripped my wrist so hard with that. You did that Joe Rogan like, oh, they're friendly. They're talking about it. They're calling them out. Well, what's weird is why didn't Sam Raimi? I actually think Sam Raimi's on to something. Why shouldn't the webbing be a power of his? It's so useful.
Like, yeah, I know.
And yes. Come on, man. Yes. There's no science that exists, even close to existing. It's weird. I can accept Iron Man, but that Peter Parker has all that webbing and that tiny little capsule, that's a reach, man.
Well, no. And you want to know something? Yes, that's a reach.
There's got to be a better way.
And he has to replace that thing. When the time he decided to develop some like crazy webbing that's state of the art that no one else in the world has, and he just decides to like do it right when he becomes Iron Man. No, of course that's like not plausible.
It shoots with that velocity but that's in the comics. That weight at that distance with that tensile strength.
No, with no testing.
With no testing.
With no testing. This guy's swinging for his life on this stuff, and there's no testing?
Without even sweating it. Come on. He's not even blinking.
No. And how much does he make? He makes enough that he just, like, pop characters.
All day.
You've had
silly string. I've seen you with two cans of silly string. You don't make it through half an hour of a party.
No, and this guy, what pockets does he have to carry all his extra webbing?
He's wearing literally a skin tight suit.
Yeah, so you can see if there's a bulge in it.
Yeah.
Boner.
I don't see any bulge in Spider-Man suit.
No, neither do I. What's the next Spider-Man movie going to be? What are we looking at?
Obviously, there's going to be another Spider-Man. I think he's signed on for three more, and I think there are going to be three more.
But
he
signed on with Sony.
At the end of this movie, everyone forgets who he is. So all the characters in this movie have forgotten that Peter Parker's Spider-Man, so they don't know Peter Parker at all.
He's lost
Aunt May, which is crazy. But actually, let me talk about that for a second. I'm going to tell you something. This Green Goblin, to me, I'd like to talk about his power levels because this Green Goblin is pretty dope. Actually, I need to start first with Tom Holland's Spider-Man. Him, his guy, I mean, yes, if you look at the movie, this dude just took a big L. He decides to, like, he should just push the button on these guys, but he decided to be there like Dr. Phil. And, like, he gets all of them. He finds out they're going to die.
Yes.
And so he's like, we could fix them all beforehand.
Yes. Doctor Strange, he captures all these villains, and he basically tells Peter that to restore stability to the universe, he's got to send them all back to their timelines.
Look, there has to be another way.
There isn't. They're a danger to our universe.
And basically let them live out their fates, which for all of them, mostly, means that they're going to die.
They're going to die at Spider-Man's hands or fighting Spider-Man for some reason. Not at Spider-Man's hands, but yes.
It's Aunt May who kind of puts the idea in Peter's head that we got to help these guys.
And yes.
Try to turn them around if we can. So he kind of takes them on this, you know, kind of bosom buddies type deal where he's one by one trying to fix them. Like fixing the chip on Doc Ock's neck, like something to reverse what happened to Sandman and so on.
Something to suck out all the electricity out of Electric Body.
Yep.
He's gonna like something that's gonna revert, you know, Lizard back to human form. But he's just gonna come up with all this stuff. I guess kind of like how he came up with webbing. But he's gonna come up with all this stuff, and he obviously takes all this stuff into Happy's home. Which, yo, if that's my house, you better not be bringing a bunch of bad guys in my house.
Yeah.
What? Hey, what?
You're this bringing a bunch of super
full disrespect for any but guy's home. Dude, I mean, if a guy like
that's
breaks
really
the glass
point,
in my house, we're talking. He's talking full on supervillains in his house.
I'm like, man, these guys have just seem a little shady. I mean, these are known like villains.
This is a lot of trust. But you know, hey, we're going and then. So he brings all these people. He tries to fix them all. He fixes Doc Ock, which winds up helping out later on. Great writing, but I mean, so like he fixes Doc Ock because Doc Ock only had one fix he needed.
Well, it's
he needed
really the easiest fix. Yeah. It's just a simple chip.
I mean, it's a simple chip that you have to invent in a few minutes, but yeah, a simple chip. He wasn't there for Spider-Man 2.
I was a little torn on this bit because I thought, what is this saying about what a villain is? Like, we don't need to get into it too much, but I was a little challenged by this part of the plot because is a villain just a good guy with a bad chip? Is a villain, you know, like all it takes is some a certain kind of just the right smoke and Green Goblin's a good guy? Like, is that the algebra? Is that the calculus?
That's one of the good things about the MCU. Some of these villains have actually plausible meanings of why they're villains or reasons why they are. In this one, I feel that, yes, obviously they're taking the stories from the other movies. Doc Ock was a scientist who was just a little too overzealous and wanted to get in his little inhibitor chip burst, and then the AI he created took over his body. Right. And that became Doc Ock, which I don't feel that that's the same story in the comics, but we're talking about the movies and then now.
Sure.
So yeah, that. But to me, all the other ones, which is why it turned, is that Green Goblin's
can the Spider-Man come out to play?
Alter ego, Green Goblin, was bad.
Right.
It wasn't just like give him a protein shake and he's gonna be good.
Right. No, if I go to Woody Harrelson and Juliet Lewis and Natural Born Killers and like all these guys. Like, take his shoes and socks off and go, oh, this guy's got a thorn in his paw.
This is why he's robbing people.
Yeah, this guy, he's not so bad. He's got a thorn in his old paw. And then I just get in and I pop that thorn out. And he's like, oh, like, I don't want to murder anymore. It's like, it is not that simple.
Well, and this is the problem.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and this is honestly the problem with Aunt May. Is like, you need to help people. Like, all right, well, how am I supposed to help these people? We need to send these people back.
Well, we know now. We test them. We get them tested.
Well, are you
testing positive for villainy? And if you are, you quarantine?
Yes. And if they test positive for villainy, I guess you can, you know, come with an antidote and, you know.
Right, a little serum, yeah, a little gas, a little like
up in the guy's home that's like letting you stay there.
Yeah, who's got a literally a Stark tech fabricator that with a freaking arc reactor,
which is pretty much almost the power of a nuclear reactor,
power of the sound of the palm of your hand.
Yes, yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's just. Another wildly irresponsible. You mean to tell me that this guy who's like went up against Thanos, like gone through everything he's gone through, is going to do something this reckless just because what? He doesn't know them?
Well, it's because Aunt May, his mom, his adoptive mother's aunt, says, hey, we need to be good people. You're a good guy. And this is the problem with, like, you know, the just being a superhero in general. Sometimes you have to, like, oh, well, we're supposed to help people. And Yeah, and there's times you're supposed to help people, but these people from a different universe. These are Garfield and Maguire's problem.
if I'm dealing with like three ex-girlfriends from alternate realities,
yes,
that I know all tried to kill me, I'm not gonna let them all back to my place, dude.
Well, I just feel like a real story. But
I know I'm getting chills just talking about it. There's no way I'm doing that. I'm not taking them to your place. I'm not taking them anywhere. I'm staying as far from them as I can. Yeah. Till I kind of get an idea of what they're about. I mean, it wasn't humane, but Doctor Strange had a lot of good points in how he was handling it.
Yeah.
Capturing them. Basically, got to catch them all. Kind of doing a Pokemon.
Catch them all.
Got to catch them all. And then sending them back. Because here's the deal. Yes, they are going to die in their timelines, but that's kind of their destiny.
Their fate. That's their destiny. And yeah, you're supposed to mean... The thing is, you're trying to set everything right. If you try to save them, you could literally ruin time, continuum in general, which we'll see what happens in the next movie of Doctor Strange.
Well, but go ahead. Let's talk about this really quick. Okay, so we've addressed all the Easter eggs. I don't know if we touched on Daredevil, though.
We have not. We have not touched on
Daredevil. Okay, so Daredevil shows up in this thing. Not Daredevil, but his alter ego.
Yeah. Matt Murdock.
Matt Murdock from the Netflix series, the very yes. beloved, with some amazing fight choreography scenes. Now he's in it. Oh my gosh. Like Chris and I are like doing that. Yeah. Joe Rogan, like, oh, losing our minds. It's it's Daredevil. And
how the whole audience is too baguette.
With what you're saying about the reset, the studio movement going on behind the scenes. And what happened with Matt Murdock, what happened with Venom, all these crossovers, is it really, in the end, all for nothing?
See, this
do you know what I'm saying? Like,
The problem, I will say this, because technically, all the Netflix movies, all the Netflix TV series happen in the MCU timeline.
Well, we always knew that, because yes. even in Daredevil, they reference events that happened in the Avengers.
Yeah.
So we knew that on their side, there was always this kind of prevailing logic that, like, for the Netflix series, they're within the Marvel Universe, but the Marvel Cinematic Universe did not necessarily recognize the televised stuff.
And that's true, yes.
That was kind of the prevailing logic. This changes that.
Yes.
Although what happened with WandaVision, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, no, and I mean, we've all seen Hawkeye. And I'm not gonna go too much into it, but there's Daredevil elements in there.
Yeah. We know that we've got Vulture in Morbius.
In Morbius, yes.
So we know that there's a lot of crossovers still happening. It's just with the reset that occurs in No Way Home, what are the ripple effects contractually throughout the MCU at the end of the day?
Well, that's the thing. As far as, I mean, this one thing I do know, Netflix deal was that once they stopped making theirs, they had to wait. There was like a 2-year gap before those characters could be used anywhere else in the Marvel universe. Once they stopped making, then that's what happened. So they can start using those characters now if they want to. Now, guess what? Iron Fist wasn't that popular.
Yeah, so you don't see him anywhere.
Jessica Jones was on the, but the thing is this, if you're introducing, I mean, Daredevil was the most popular, and then
I'd say Punisher was pretty well received.
Punisher was I think if they're going to bring Punisher, it's going to be the Punisher. And I feel like if they're going to bring Luke Cage, I think it'll be the Luke Cage they had in Netflix series. Cause he was actually popular as far as, you know, new Luke Cage fans. But they don't have to show them, but they're gonna. I mean, if they want to bring them in, they will. I just feel like, Daredevil is probably the biggest one because that's the actual big character.
Yeah.
And then everyone that's all in the Daredevil series can be brought in.
Right.
Can be kind of like integrated into. But the question I will say is this: will they be integrated into Spider-Man, or will they be integrated into the MCU?
Right.
That's the question I want to have, because MCU, I mean, Marvel's not going to give Daredevil to Sony. But they may like let him use the character.
Well, here's the thing.
If they know what they're going to do with him.
My sentiment has always been that Sony came to Marvel with help. Please help us. That was the vibe I always got.
Yeah.
Marvel's not feeling like they need to do anyone any favors. In fact, the reason that these Spider-Man contracts are problematic, from what I can tell, is that Marvel wants a progressively larger slice of the pie.
No, Kevin Feige actually wants Spider-Man back.
Yeah, and honestly, I kind of want them to have it back. Like, they've handled him.
They've done a great job. I mean, MCU has done a good job handling him, I think.
They have. I mean, you got to give Sony credit for putting together the Sam Raimi movies that really ushered in a Spider-Man film that really worked after all those years of speculation. It's hard, like, my entire lifetime, like, as a kid, it was like, will there ever be a Spider-Man movie? James Cameron was talking about doing a Spider-Man movie, over and over. It was like, is this going to happen? And the technology was just never there. And
yeah.
All of a sudden, it really is. Although, I got to say, watching the behind the scenes, you'd be surprised how much actual practical effects do occur. There's a lot of blue screen, but Tom Holland's doing a lot of flipping around on his own. I was a little surprised to see that. It's pretty impressive.
No, he's actually, when he got cast, I saw some like videos of just him just
flipping around.
He's doing flips. He's doing, yeah, I mean, guys, dang near parkour. He's dang near Spider-Man.
In real life.
As far as this film goes overall, I feel like Sony is like separating Spider-Man from the MCU. And I feel like they're going to make their own.
You, Chris, actually were saying right here and
that's
now
what on I'm this saying.
Podcast that you think I'm that saying. Sony wants to take Spider-Man quote back me. From the MCU.
Quote me.
Okay.
No. I mean, Spider-Man, yeah, I'm not going to say they're going to like dish the MCU. What I'm going to say is like they're not going to like be incorporated with the MCU characters necessarily, short of like talking, mentioning that, like, you know, whatever happens, they might mention it. But I feel, like I mentioned before, like how I feel that all these Spider-Mans had help from MCU characters. Tony Stark, Nick Fury, this one, Doctor Strange. Like the film's main plots.
Tony Stark was there almost in place of an Uncle Ben.
Right. Yeah.
And he kind of ended up ultimately fulfilling the role of an Uncle Ben, you know, by the time he ran his course in relation to Peter Parker's life. So I thought that was kind of a cool alternative version. It was interesting that he never gave Tom Holland the line that ultimately comes from Marissa Tomei, where she gives, and that we didn't know this, but she gives the actual line written by Stan Lee, which is a subtle change. I believe it's, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
And the actual line as it was written is, with great power there must also come great responsibility. A very small thing.
You have power. And with great power, there must also come great responsibility.
But I do believe that they purposely went back to the original quote, to like the full-on original quote. Because, first off, Aunt May dies in this thing. One spoilers. Aunt May dies, which is crazy. Because, I mean, yeah, it's actually a launching point for this character, for Tom Holland's character. Because it's honestly her advice that he takes that gets her killed.
Right.
And so he has to deal with that.
Well, it completely isolates him.
Yeah.
Like, he does not have it. The thing is, like, Marvel cannot leave Spider-Man like this. You know what I mean?
They shouldn't, but
like, is this how I have to say goodbye to Tom Holland? Because honestly, as much as I'd like to see an Andrew Garfield or a Tobey Maguire, now, I'm very intrigued. I don't want to lose what's going on with Tom Holland. Like, it's...
I really hope they work that out. I mean, I know they left it. I mean, at the end, there's a scene where Tom Hardy, playing Venom, is talking to a bartender, and they, like, kind of hash out what's going on in the MCU. But then he gets zapped back to his time, but there's, like, a little piece of Venom that's left on it.
Venom.
In the bar. Which apparently no one wipes up. But, you know, there's a little piece of Venom left in the bar, so it's kind of like, yo, Venom can show up in the MCU version, in the Tom Holland version of Spider-Man. But with the success of Let There Be Carnage, which was successful, I mean, as a film, they're not going to like just throw away Tom Hardy's
Venom.
They're not going to do that. So,
well, see, I'm not sure that's what's going to happen. I think all it says is that it's possible that a Venom will exist.
Exactly.
Like, you know, like when a little bit of Venom gets bit off in Carnage, like he just becomes Carnage. Like,
yeah,
it could be Venom, but will it necessarily be Tom Hardy's Venom? Was that a brokering deal where Marvel's, well, like, if you want Spider-Man, we want Venom for whatever reason? Like,
well, they're not going to get Venom. But I feel like this, and the thing is, I feel like it's left open that it could go any direction they decide to go.
That's
that little thing could take over Tom Holland and turn him into the Black Spider-Man, and then that could like branch off into Venom in his world, and it could be a different one. Or, for some other reason, Tom Hardy's Venom could wind up coming back.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, I think it's left open that way. I just don't feel like they're going to throw Tom Hardy's Venom away because his films are successful.
Well, it's
they were the biggest
Spider-Man
films.
Stuff shows it's the best thing they got going for him.
Right.
Morbius, other than Spider-Man, I'm very on the fence on.
We'll see about Morbius.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see how it happens.
It could be good. I'm just not.
You know. Come on, dude. Jared Leto. He has such a great track record with superhero movies. Come on,
I'm not going to commit just yet.
What of his great track record with superhero movies? Real Cape. Yeah. What do you feel about Jared Leto?
No comment. Dude, he's a great actor. He's been done dirty. You know what? I've said my piece.
Go back and listen to our Justice League podcast. You can see what the Road Cape says about Jared Leto.
Spider-Man No Way Home has overtaken Titanic.
Who?
So
what? Oh, well, yeah.
In a pandemic.
Which is crazy. In a pandemic.
So
this has to be the best movie in the pandemic. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, any movie not called Spider-Man has lost. I mean, has suffered in the pandemic.
Well, I will say this:
Dune.
You look at Venom: Let There Be Carnage. That was, I'm gonna say, like about $220 million, which was a successful movie for that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, you can quote me. You can like check the number. Well, check the number when this actually, when you hear this. But I believe
do you want me to leave you hanging out to dry, or do you want me to look
it
right
could
now?
Be but thing is that I feel like that movie was that successful to the point where these are the most successful movies for Sony right now.
Right.
They're not gonna just throw Tom Hardy if they don't have to.
Okay, dude, you're right. So Let There Be Carnage is $501 million USD.
I'm sure that's
the worldwide.
Is that worldwide? Okay. Yeah.
But that's okay. Still pretty good.
No, what I'm saying. They're not going to just throw that movie away unless Tom Hardy stops doing it, but...
That's massive. I didn't realize it was that massive.
No, it was... No, Tom... Let There Be Carnage, you'll have to listen to that podcast. Let There Be Carnage, it did very well. And that's what I'm saying. It's like Sony has something with their Spider-Verse.
Yep. Yeah, they do.
They need to take advantage of it.
You know, these box office numbers have been really hard for me to justify because they've been all over the place. Like in the early stuff, like Tenet, Mulan, I mean, these things were like doing really low numbers. And you think, well, it's because the circumstances. And it was.
Quarantine, yeah.
But like, we're still not open. Like, they're still...
We're not fully open. The thing is that right now... Everyone doesn't know. Right now, everyone's been pulled out of doing streaming and box office. They're just doing box office.
Right.
And they're living with the numbers.
Right. And you're just dealing with, like, the degree that... Here's the thing. You got to... What Spider-Man No Way Home proves is you got to have a movie so good that I'm going to be willing to risk COVID to get it. Getting COVID to see it. I'm going to risk getting COVID to see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the new... benchmark.
That's a new benchmark. So that's how we're rating movies now. So yes, I would risk COVID to see Spider-Man No Way Home.
I would risk COVID to get it too, man.
All right.
I'd risk it and I quarantine with you. Yep. If you haven't done it already.
Go see Spider-Man.
Mask up.
We've done bad at the movies to see this bad boy. All right.
All right. So anyway,
no,
here's a little Easter egg is Chris Rogers will return in another podcast.
Oh, we're turning to many podcasts.
And we keep podcasting.
And I'm sure I'll be followed by the rogue cape.
Yeah, that's right. I'm always right there in the shadows.
This is how we get in the movies. Hey, so yes, I will say this. Yeah, go see Spider-Man, No Way Home.
Yeah. Any of you that were thinking about it, you're kind of on the fence, like, do I want to go see this movie? Mm-hmm. Am I more into listening to the podcast about it, but I really don't want to go see it? Go see it.
Yeah. Check us out on Instagram at KPC Free. Subscribe, like, all that stuff, because, we like you to subscribe and stuff.
And ask yourself, how's that Palpatine?
Dude, how is that Palpatine?
How is that Palpatine? How's that Palpatine?